shouldn't start an interview off saying this, but your new album has been the soundtrack of my weekend, and I just absolutely love it.
Well, thank you.
Can you tell me about your caregiving for your mom and dad?
Sure. Well, my mom and dad were completely independent until I think I came back from a really busy touring schedule the fall of 2008. And when I realized my parents' decline, especially my mom was so frail, it was shocking. And so I canceled everything for 2009. All work, all travel, and try to be home and try to do special things with my parents, help my mom with bathing and getting dressed. Anyway, about that time, one of my sisters and her husband moved in with my parents. And so we were just kind of slowly circling the wagons. Dementia is such a different player. We've had in-house relatives. You know, both my grandmothers lived with my two older sisters in the last 3 years of their lives, both of them. But dementia made it impossible to just carry on in any normal way. And so eventually we had to get round-the-clock care for my mom.
Well, your parents did something that is very impressive and a lot of people, unfortunately, to this day don't do, is they did a great job of preparing.
Yes, they did.
Could you walk us through that?
Well, okay, I have three older sisters, and so we are responsible for different things with my parents. Basically, my father, just the kind of insurance he took out, long-term care, and the way he put a savings account in order, provided us the materials that we need to take care of him.
That's
and
really
so,
smart. That's a great lesson for you and for your kids and for future generations, actually.
Yes, I know, and I have really been talking to people about this because, you know, Kathy and Mimi and Carol and I looked at each other and we thought, oh, my goodness, we thought the biggest gift was to help our kids through education. Now, you know, to provide for ourselves, and that's just such a different message for our generation because we have not been a saving generation. But it's never too late to start working on a plan. And I think in these financial times, I don't know a family that has not worked hard to simplify. I know Vince and I have. And so that just continues to be part of the process of looking to the future. And so anyway, but the real elephant in the room for all of us and for every family is just when that shift starts. You know, when we realized that all these different things that were making us scratch our heads, like what are mom and dad doing? What did she have on when she came to the door? Why did my father make this purchase or talk to this person on the phone? Oh, my gosh, you know, we were putting out all these little fires, and then we realized that dementia was at play. And so while my father still and my mother, while they still had enough mental faculties, we went to them and said, this is what we see at work, and please trust us. We need to communicate right now about what matters to you, and you're going to have to trust us to carry it out. And we actually pretty early on got my parents to turn over the power of attorney to my two older sisters. Lots of conversation, lots of time spent together, as we hired caregivers, we made some mistakes and we had to regroup because caregiving, you know, there has to be personality matches as well, you know. So anyway, all those, communication is so important. We've learned so many amazing life lessons through this. And so
I always call these board of directors meetings, where you and your family sit down and have a board of directors meeting about, you know, the hands-on business of caring for your loved one.
Absolutely. And it's emotional.
Oh, yeah.
You know, through the end of life, through death. I mean, we have a lot of opportunities to heal unresolved things, to forgive, to let go, or sometimes to just, you know, I think when I was a kid, I was not aware of the fact that all this was happening with the much older generations. It's been really eye-opening. But, you know, all part of life.
How do you and your sisters work out the scheduling, the responsibility?
We actually are in a good, we're in a good stretch right now. My father does not, he has very little recognition of any of us. But he has a lot of physical energy. And so, here are a couple of things that we've done. Measuring sticks are all thrown out the door because there are times, especially when caregiving lasts for years, there are times when one sibling has a lot more time to dedicate.
Right.
I'm so grateful that my sisters are not holding a measuring stick up to me because right now work has me out of town most of the time. And, you know, I'm just so grateful, you know, that they say, hey, when you're here, you do what you can, and right now we've got the space covered. But I tend to be the one that comes up with the next plan, and I think it's because creativity is just part of my toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
And so my sister Carol deals with all things sort of medical, insurance, patient advocate. Her children are grown, and she is she is a stay-at-home wife with grown children, but that gives her the flexibility to be able to be most available to my parents.
So it's a real partnership between the four of you.
Yes, and my sister Mimi is in a type of healthcare, and so she understands. But it's tough. You know, my dad spent his entire career in radiation oncology, and after his dementia was full-blown, one of my sisters was diagnosed with malignancy. You know, we all cried our eyes out, and, you know, she just said, what I wish is that I wish I could talk to Dad. And so she's been through a year of treatment, and thank goodness is cancer-free now. but one thing that we found, we have had my dad sort of in and out of different facilities because no situation works for everybody. One of his wishes was that he and my mom be together until the end. And we were able to do that until the last 3 weeks of her life.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, no
yeah.
Situation works for everybody forever. And it's,
right.
I guess that's the part of being a fearless caregiver is to say, okay, I like this facility, but at this point it's not appropriate, and find other options. I always consider
right.
the best long-term care facility, one that treats you as an equal partner as they're caring for your loved one.
Yes. And, you know, I've been amazed at how helpful the different facilities have been. We actually have my father in an apartment, ground floor, one bedroom, very simple. And most of the other people in that apartment complex are college kids. But he has round-the-clock caregiving. It was a much less expensive facility to live in, and we took all of that money that would have gone toward paying for the caregiving facility to help pay for the caregivers.
I understand that. We did that with my grandfather because it was appropriate to his care until it wasn't.
Right. And that might, it could change next week.
Yeah.
But, and it doesn't work to have Dad in the home, in any of our homes. I mean, we bring him to our homes, but it's too much information. A very simple environment is the most restful for him. He gets agitated if there's too many stimuli.
Oh, I understand that. And it's once you've seen one Alzheimer's dementia family caregiving situation, you've seen one. So
that's a great way, great timing of the delivery there. with my parents, I was frustrated. We were going through, a Rolodex of caregivers, trying to find the right fit, trying to find, the best place for them to live. My mother fell again in her own home. I mean, it's just, and a friend spoke these words to me: "Take a deep breath, Amy, and just remember this is the last great lesson your parents will teach you."
That's nice. That's very
yes.
nice.
And that immediately created a framework for me to say, well, you're right, and this is going to be a lesson in using my creativity and listening to my instincts, to those moments of inspiration and direction that seem like they come out of nowhere, and trusting that on some level we're all led at different points in our lives when we have the greatest need. And it has been an amazing journey. And I'm so grateful for it.
And one thing you said what I really enjoyed as well along the line of journey was there's no map for this journey.
There's no. Yes.
You're mapping it as you go along.
Yeah. Absolutely. Maybe because I travel so much, I do think in terms of maps. I feel that way just with my job. And so to look at it that way with my parents, now my dad, to every day go, we're waking up somewhere different, and that's okay. We just figure it out as we go.
That's really nice. And one other thing that you taught me was, and I like very much, spread out the responsibilities through the aging person's community, and we call that the reverse gift list, which is don't be afraid to ask for what you need. But I like the way you put it, their community, their friends or family.
Yes.
I guess that's what you were talking about.
Yes. We found with my mother, she was 3 weeks in our home with hospice care, and for some of her grandchildren, it was really tough tending to her needs, and helping her dislodge the mucus that would get trapped in the back of her mouth, in her throat, changing her, bathing her. But it's funny how really it was just in the company of the older grandchildren that the younger ones sort of maybe just learned to take it in stride.
Well,
that was only 3 weeks, but I remember having the monitor on. We had a monitor, and I walked through one night, and I heard, I wasn't sure whose voice it was because we didn't even lock the door. People came through, you know, all hours of the day and night. And it was, you know, they were coaxing my mom through some procedure. And then I listened and I went, oh, my goodness. And it was one of my daughters that had been, like, her first entry into that room with my mother, you could have seen the claw marks of her down the hall. Please don't make me go in there. Because she was just frightened, you know, and she was in her later teens. But what a great experience for her to not be afraid. We have laughed and we have cried. And it's just been something I never would have anticipated that we've gone through as a family. And because my parents' dementia, it was the first experience of dementia I ever remember in our extended family. Hmm. And when I was in college, we had five generations of my family alive. And nobody didn't know who they were.
The thing that I think so many people have never been caregivers, they're always surprised about how caregiving actually brings so many people closer to their faith. It seems maybe counterintuitive, you know. But everywhere we go, every caregiver we talk to. So I was wondering how caregiving influences your faith or vice versa.
You know, if you read through the New Testament, there's so many times in the Gospels when just prior to Jesus performing a miracle would be the phrase, and moved by compassion or moved with compassion or filled with compassion, he did this. And I think that there's something, the groundwork for the miraculous and the setting for spiritual experience a lot of times is in the context of compassion.
I always end the conversations with what I call the elevator question. If you got an, elevator with a family caregiver and you had, you know, 30 seconds or so before the door opened and you never saw them again, what would the one most important piece of advice you'd like to share with them be?
There are so many moments in a day that no one sees all of the details of how a caregiver is extending themselves on somebody else's behalf, but God does. And the way I read my Bible is very clear. Through the Old Testament and the New Testament, God has always been devoted to the disenfranchised and the marginalized people in our community. And, I mean, that's what Jesus said. This is pure religion, to take care of widows and orphans. And, you know, in that society, they were the most marginalized. And but it's reflected in the Old Testament, too. And I think there is an audience for every one of us in the details of our lives that nobody else sees, and the audience is the one who made us. And I think when we don't lose sight of that, I know it comes back. I don't know how, but I know it does.
Thank you for that. That touches families, that touches professionals, that touches anybody who really cares. So I appreciate that.
Well, thanks. Thanks for asking questions that I don't normally get asked. It's usually who played drums on the fifth song.